Proverbs chapter 26. I'll read the first 12 verses. As snow in summer, and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. As the bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the cause causeless shall not come. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the ass, and a rod for a fool's back. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like unto him. Answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so is he that giveth honor to a fool. As a thorn goeth into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning and the opportunity we have to teach it, preach it, hear it, be blessed by it, and fellowship with others of like mind. I thank you, Lord, for all the blessings you've given to us, and all the prayers that you've answered. And Lord, we thank you for the salvation of our souls, and then you're walking with us all these years. And Lord, we'd ask you today that you'd bless your word to every heart, and ask, Lord, that you'd give me a freedom and ease to teach it that only you can give. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We got a chapter here, and it's outlined a little bit better than probably most of the chapters you'll find in the book of Proverbs, in the sense that he's got some big lines. The first 12 verses of it, all about fools. Now, generally, Proverbs will have a verse about a fool and go on and do something else and go a long ways away. But here, right here in this chapter, we got 12 verses talking about fools to start off with. And then he's going to talk up, and he's talking about 13 through 16, he's talking about sluggards and slothful people, and they're all sort of together. And then he starts talking about talebearers and contentious men, people who cause trouble. And so you've got sort of an outline of three main topics, really, when you come to this chapter, which is a little unusual for Proverbs. Most of the time, now there's some chapters like that. When you get to chapter 31, the biggest majority of the chapter is going to be about the righteous woman. And there are other chapters that are like that, but very seldom. Most of the Proverbs is one or two verses about a subject and flip over to something else. But Solomon didn't think too much of fools. And you'll find a lot about fools in the book of Proverbs. And every once in a while, when he's talking about a fool, you recognize yourself, don't you? Amazing thing, but you say, oh my, Solomon knew about me a long time before I ever got on the scene. What a tragedy. What is a fool? Well, the Bible defines it. Look at two different places in the Bible. It gives a real good definition. In Psalms 14:1, though, is a very good definition of a fool. And I think we ought to look at it before I even study this chapter. Psalms 14:1. Be just my luck that Steve or Brian, whoever's preaching today, was going to preach on the fool. That's such is life. Look at Proverbs 14:1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Now that's repeated twice. It's also repeated, I think, Psalm 50, Psalm 51, somewhere around in there. But notice what it says. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You know what a fool says in his heart? There's no judgment. I don't face this in the future. I'm not ever going to be brought into account for what I'm doing. How foolish are you? You think like that? Now notice he didn't say it with his mouth. This fool didn't say it with his mouth. He said it in his heart. There are a lot of people with their mouth say, oh, praise God, bless God, I love God. And in their heart they say, there is no judgment, there is no God, there is no facing of this I'm going to do. We're very foolish if we think that our lives do not bring consequences. And that we are the result of decisions we've made for the last 10 years or 15 years or whatever it might be. You are right now. You can blame God, you can blame the country, you can blame somebody else, but you are right now the result of the decisions you've made in the last 10 years. That's where you are. And the people down around you that live close to you, that you know and you see, and some of the people going through some of the tragedies they're going through, their lives are messed up, their marriages are messed up, their kids are messed up. They're there because they made those decisions 10, 15 years ago, and they're still living in them. Make sense? Don't you be so foolish as to think the things that happen to you are just chance and happenstance. Much, and I'm not saying everything, we've got Job in the Bible, don't we? Job didn't get it for his own fault, but there was a cause. It was for the glory of God. It was for a battle with Satan. And if you're in God's cause, you'd gladly do whatever God wanted you to do, whatever it might cost you. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. There are a lot of fools out here today. Now the Bible tells us don't call people fools lightly. You'll find the word fool in the Bible quite a few times. Study it out. You know what you're going to find? You're going to find somebody who does not look at the consequences of what he does. Somebody who does not believe there's an ultimate judgment. Somebody does not believe somebody's going to bring him to account for what he does. Why do some of these kids rob someplace, shoot somebody, go to jail for 30 or 40 years? They didn't think about consequences. They didn't think about tomorrow. They didn't think about, I'm going to pay for this. They didn't think about, somebody's got to pay for this. They did not look down the road. They didn't think there's a God that judges in heaven. And the reason why some judges make the decisions they make in courts today is because they don't believe they're going to be judged. They think they're the ultimate judgment. Oh, they're not. I've told several of them, I said, oh yeah, you got your judgment right now. It looks real good. Wait till you stand before my judge. There's going to be a day you're going to meet my judge. And I want you to know, he knows everything you think. He knows why you do what you do. And not only what you do, but why you do what you do. You don't even understand that. Lots of times I do things I look back on and say, why did I do that? Someone was telling this old lady, preacher came by to visit her, said, you've been thinking about the hereafter? Said, you need to be thinking, as old as you are, you need to be thinking about the hereafter. She said, yes, sir. When I go into the kitchen, I think about, what am I hereafter? When I go down to the bedroom, I think, what am I hereafter? When I walk over to the outside, I think, what am I hereafter? I've been thinking about the hereafter a whole lot lately. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Does it ever occur to you, while you're doing something, whether anybody else can see you or not, there's no judgment for this. Be careful. You're thinking very much like a fool. If you think God's not seeing everything you do, and God's not going to judge you for what you do, and what you say. Oh, we make some very, very stupid statements. We criticize people. We make judgments on people that we never walked in their shoes, don't have any idea what they're doing, and we'd be very, very foolish, and we don't think it's going to come back on us. I guess one of the favorite passages in the Bible is Jesus saying, judge not, lest you be judged, for with the same judgment you judge, ye shall be judged. But you know, the rest of the Bible tells you, judge, 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 you are judges. You're kings and you're priests. You know, a priest is a judge. It's a judge of what's right and what's wrong. A judge judges what's right and what's wrong. A preacher judges what's right and what's wrong. A parent judges what's right and what's wrong. You as a child judge what's right and what's wrong. We're all judges. You just need to make righteous judgments. Jesus is saying, while you got a telephone pole sticking in your eye, don't worry about a little speck in your brother's eye. You're walking around with this fence post, you know, sticking out like this. Everybody can see it but you, you know. And you're so blind and crying, and you're trying to help your brother who's got a little bitty problem. You sit up there judging. Very, very foolish. Think about it a minute. When we're foolish, we don't think about God. We don't put God into the equation. We don't bring God into our business. We don't bring God into our family. We don't bring God into our life. The fool is said in his heart. Many a fool is not so foolish as to say it with his mouth. I have met a few fools that were so foolish they said it with their mouth. Talk about looking stupid. But most of them are not that foolish. But the fool is said in his heart, there is no God. That's the kind of thinking you have where you're very much a fool. Well, let's look. We got about 12 verses on fools. This is my last Sunday this month. I'd like to take the whole chapter. I don't know if I can get it all done or not, but I'm going to try to do some speed reading through here a little bit. As snow in summer and as rain in harvest, so honor is not seemly for a fool. Snow in summer. Only time I ever saw snow in summer, I was probably about 12 years old with my dad in Yellowstone National Park. I think it was July or June 21st or 22nd. And it was snowing on us. Wow, what a trip for me. Because, you know, I down here in San Antonio, you see snow once every 5 or 6 years, and then you get enough to cover the ground for a few hours every 10 or 12 years. Man, it was snowing. It was snowing the banks, and it was snow. It was coming down middle of summertime. But that's not normal. Snow in summer here in San Antonio? Whoa. I tell you what, that'd catch 6 o'clock news, wouldn't it? Sure would. Well, how about rain and harvest? He's talking from his country, where he is, Israel. When harvest time came, it wasn't a rainy time. It'd be a dry time. So these things are unusual. They're things that don't really happen. He said that's the same way with honor. Doesn't look right on a fool. You go honoring fools. It doesn't look right. It's not seemly. It doesn't fit. It's not beautiful. As a bird by wandering, as a swallow by flying, so the cause causeless shall not come. Well, very simple. A bird wanders by purpose. There's a cause for the bird's wandering. He wanders because of feeding. He wanders because of birth of children. He wanders because of various things that are there, but there's cause for it. There's a reason for it. our scientists now study a lot of these things out, and they tell us these birds go here for this, and these salmon, after 4 years, come back up to the same place, but they've gone out in the ocean for all these 4 years and finally come back to the same spot, and they die right here after they've laid their seed. We see the causes. We see the reasons behind the things they do and what they do. And we've got men studying animals and insects and bugs and plants and all sorts of things for causes. Because you see, when you have an effect, there's a cause for an effect. Cause and effect. It's a natural law. It doesn't just work in trigonometry or plane geometry. It doesn't just work in algebra. It works in every area of your life. There's a cause and effect. You got a flat on your car? Well, maybe you didn't change your tires quick enough, or else you ran over a nail or something. There's a cause for it. So he says, so the cause, causeless, shall not come. There's a cause out there? Well, there must be a reason for it. You're king. You're judging something. You got problems in your realm. There's a cause out there. There's people rising up and complaining because things aren't going right. They don't think the government's going right. Maybe you better look in to see what's been doing. Maybe the things are unfair. Maybe the things are unjust. Maybe you got some unjust judges underneath you. And when you got troubles, take a look for a cause. Maybe there's a reason. It might not be easy to see, but maybe there's a reason, because the cause causeless shall not come. Any more than a bird moving and wandering or flying, he's doing things for a purpose. And so the same way, when troubles come your way, when there's a cause out there, when there's somebody crying by reason of injustice, when there's somebody saying, this isn't fair or this isn't right, maybe you ought to take a look, and maybe you aren't doing things right. Now sometimes, parents, sometimes we need to really pay attention to our children, because sometimes they see an unfairness in us. And then they cry and complain. And maybe you ought to take a real good look, because maybe you haven't been fair. Maybe you've been showing favoritism to one child Jacob did to Joseph. And maybe the other brother is all jealous and angry because that spoiled kid gets his way all the time. He just happened to be a great kid. We don't find anything wrong with Joseph even after his daddy got through with him. His daddy had a pretty good judgment. This was a kid. He was the best kid he had, no doubt about it. But still, you might ought to take into consideration some other times when you've looked at it and realized that, wait a minute, there's not a cause there except maybe your own jealousy, or maybe your own selfishness, or maybe you're not thinking right, that you tell them, look, daddy's not always right, but daddy's always daddy. Just do what I tell you to do. And sometimes later on it'll come out in the wash, you know. And it comes out that way because you got to make the judgments. But you know, the cause causeless shall not come. So you think about, when I've got troubles, when I've got somebody complaining, when I've got a cause coming up against me, I might ought to look for the reason, because it didn't just happen. Okay? A whip for a horse, a bridle for an ass, and a rod for the fool's back. You know why you got the whip for the horse? To make him obey. That's what the whip's for, the horse. Why do you have a bridle for an ass? To make him go where you want him to go. I haven't ridden horses in a long time, and I don't care to ever ride one again. But they're beautiful animals, and I know a lot of people that love them, and they keep them, and you know, they love them. But I had one fellow that had horses for years. He said they're the stubbornest things I ever got around. And he said if you leave them out, if you don't ride them real regularly, you got to almost break them again. You got to go back out there and work with them and work with them. They're going to take a lot of your time. You see, these animals, you need a whip for a horse, you need a bridle for an ass. Do we need one for you? Do we need one for you? Because he said, a rod for a fool's back. You see, an intelligent man can take some instruction. A spiritual man can take some instruction. But a fool, he doesn't have enough sense to listen to instruction. You can't teach a fool by telling him what's right. Why? He's too stupid. He's got his own little world set up, his own little judgment set up. He's his own judge. He's not looking forward for a judgment. He's not seeing what's going to happen down the road. He can't see 3 feet in front of him. You know what a fool lands by? A rod. Well, now, a lot of our children are fools. Sorry about that. But the Bible says, so foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, and the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You hear what the Bible says? It said, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child. You got a bunch of little fools running around. And what do they need? They need a rod on their back. They need a belt on their bottom. They need a rebuke from a parent. They need somebody to bring them up short. And let me say this. If your kid keeps doing what you keep telling him not to do, and you keep spanking him, and he doesn't work, he keeps doing the same thing, spank him harder. You're not getting to him. He's fooling you with his crying. He's lying to you. You ever seen them? You're getting ready to spank them, and they start crying and screaming and dancing, and you haven't touched them. You haven't even touched them yet. And they're jumping up and down. They're fooling you. These kids are psychologists. Man, they're natural born psychologists. They know how to get your goat. Oh, I've got him already. Yeah. He talked you right out of it. You got to hurt them some way. When they get to be teenagers, yeah, the time for whipping them, it's over. If you haven't got your job done by the time they get there, yeah, you're not going to do much good that way. But then you have to hurt them mentally. You have to hurt them in their pleasure. You have to hurt them in their freedom. You have to hurt them. You know why most of you drive pretty close to speed limit? You don't like tickets and insurance payments so high. That's the only reason. If there wasn't one of those coppers, dirty pennies, hanging out on the side of the road with his radar sitting on you, boy, you'd have got here a lot faster this morning. You know what? It hurts you. It hurts you to pay out of your pocketbook. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also, and there's where most of your treasure is. That's right. So we need to come to the place, this fool, what's he going to learn with? A rod. He won't learn any other way. And a lot of your children are very foolish, and the only way they're going to learn is that it costs them. It has to hurt them. It has to cost them. And if you don't do it that way, then your discipline won't be worth 2 cents. Rod for a fool's back. You see, some people don't understand anything else but a big stick. I would love for us to live in a wonderful country, didn't even have to have a soldier. But you know, all the people in the world don't think like we do, and if we lived like that, there'd be one of those dictators running over here doing his best to jump right on top of us. We need a very strong army. And we need a soldier up there and a president up there that's willing to use it. Or else we won't be free very long because fools take rods to their backs to teach them anything. And they take, if you have enough guns and you threaten to use them, then even a fool can learn something and might back off from it. Now verses 4 and 5 are put right together and very interesting. Boy, here calls us for judgment. Answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him. You hear fools opening their mouth every week. Sometimes you just want to think, if I even say a word, it's just going to make a mess. And so you hold your peace. Well, he's telling you, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou be like unto him. You're going to look like a fool yourself. But then the next verse says, answer a fool according to his folly, lest he be wise in his own conceit. There are other times you have to stand up and shut the mouth of a fool and show him how stupid he is, or he's just going to keep on going in his stupidity. The Bible says, for pastors in churches, that there's some people whose mouths must be stopped. In any meeting going on, in an open meeting here on Sunday night or Wednesday night, somebody's liable to get up and say some really foolish things. Anytime an elder stands up, he takes the floor. Anytime he stands up, he takes the floor. You just sit down and shut up. He takes the floor. And sometimes over the years, we've had to stand up and shut people up and sit them down. And I've invited some of them to leave. You're not welcome. Well, I thought this was an open meeting. Well, it is for some people, but it's not for you. We're not all equal, see? You have to sometimes answer a fool. Why? Because of his foolishness and his own conceit. What do we get from both of these? Good judgment. You need to use good judgment. Sometimes you just need to keep your mouth shut and walk away. Sometimes it's better just shut your mouth, let the fool go on with his raving, and walk on down the road and talk to somebody that wants to hear. On another day, at another time, with the right judgment, the Spirit of God telling you what you ought to do, you need to stand up and answer a fool according to his folly. That you not only might help him, because some fools do get saved, look at you. Oh yeah. Some great big fools get their lives changed because somebody stood up to them sometime. That's right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, he that sendeth, verse 5, he that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. I don't want my feet cut off and I don't want to drink any damage. Well, he said, that's what happens when you send a message by the hand of a fool. One of the things about the Tim Allen show, I watch television. I'm one of those sinners that watch television. And I like the tool time, home improvement. I love when the neighbor gives some great philosophical truth, you know, some illustration to old Tim, and Tim goes in and tells it to his wife. That's like giving a message to a fool's hand. It's not going to come out the same. We're in Proverbs chapter 26 and verse 6. He that sendeth a message by the hand of a fool cutteth off the feet and drinketh damage. Now, you might ought to be careful when you send a message. You send it by somebody who can relay it right. You might ought to be careful you send a message by somebody who knows what he's talking about and not quite a fool. Well, we got the 12 verses here, all of them about fools. The legs of the lame are not equal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. I've heard some parables told by some very wise men, and man, they have a message. They stick. Oh, they tell you what you ought to know. I mean, they stay with you because you remember the story and whatever. And I've heard parables in the mouths of fools, and it's like Tim Allen trying to relay something that's going on next door from the guy, his neighbor. It doesn't come out right. It's not the same. It's like the man's always limping. See, he's a lame man. His legs aren't equal. So a parable in the mouth of fools. Now, personally, I'm not very good at telling jokes. Willie Cosby, he's got a memory like a steel trap, and he remembers every joke for the last 50 years. And he's very good at telling jokes. I know some of you. I had a guy I went to high school with. The guy was a comedian, and he could remember all sorts of jokes. Well, they're not the same coming out of my mouth. When I tell them, they don't get the same effect. And you know, I don't know what it is. I can remember lots of things. Lots of things. Man, my mind, I remember numbers. I still remember old telephone numbers. My Air Force number was AF-1849-8184, 1898-18498-184. Said to you two or three different ways, even backwards. Never forget it. Probably won't lose that in heaven. Well, it'd be a shame, but I mean, I probably won't. But remember a joke? I wish I could. I've heard some really good jokes, but I can't remember. And I go down the road and start to tell somebody something. Well, I'll forget the punchline. I might as well not even try to tell this joke. So the same way, you put a parable in the mouth of a fool, it doesn't come out the same. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling, so that he that give honor to a fool. And we get back to honor to a fool. We were talking up there before that honor was not seemly for a fool. Alright, you got a sling. You understand what a sling is? Generally, we have a good couple of pieces of surgical rubber on either a wire or a wooden handle and a little leather pouch back here, and you put marbles or rocks and whatever. David's sling wasn't exactly like that. It was like a leather pouch, a little bit bigger than what we think about, and two leather things, no rubber. It ain't rubber. Two leather things. One of them he holds on to, the other he turns loose of. I've tried it many times. I can't even get it to work. I hit myself in the head, time, you know, trying to, I never could make David's sling work, but he was good with it. Now, what good would you do if you tied the rock into the sling? Huh? Think about that a minute. The rock doesn't go out. What good is a sling if the rock isn't slung? If you can't sling the stone with it, what good is it? Well, look at this. As he that bindeth a stone in a sling. How stupid can you get? Well, that's he that gives honor to a fool. Take a look at the people you honor. And you surely wouldn't want to be giving honor to a fool, would you? That'll make you look pretty foolish. So, as a thorn goeth into the hand of a drunkard, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. We come back to this same thing. The legs of the lame are unequal, so is a parable in the mouth of fools. As a thorn into the hand of a drunkard. The guy's so drunk, he doesn't even know he's damaged. The guy's so drunk, he doesn't even know he's hurt. But now, tomorrow, next week, maybe the next year, and maybe for the rest of his life, he'll limp, or he'll have a bad hand, or he'll have a bad cut there, he'll get it infected, or whatever. No telling what's going to happen to the drunk. So, the same way you put a parable in the mouth of fools, you simply don't know what damage it'll do, and you don't know what it's going to turn out to be. Look at verse 10. The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressors. Remember, I gave you a definition of a fool right at the very first. And it's Psalms 14:1. The fool said in his heart, there is no God. The reason why a man is such a fool, he doesn't think there's a judgment coming. He doesn't think there's a God out there that's going to judge him. He doesn't think anybody sees what he's doing. He doesn't think anybody understands better than him. He's so smart, he's a God inside himself. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Well, guess what? The great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth the transgressors. There is a judgment. There is a reward for what you do. There is an action that reacts to your action. There is a result. To every choice you make, every word you say, everything you do, there is a result to it. And it's because there's a God out there. There's a God out there. If there is no God, if there is no heaven or hell, if this life is the end of it, then maybe some of these young fools running around got the right idea. Live for everything you can get. Get all you can possibly get any way you want to. You're the only law that counts. Oh, boy, wait a minute. There is a God in heaven. This world is going to come to an end. You are going to face Him in judgment one of these days. There is a day coming when I am going to stand for what I'm speaking this morning. I would, of course, love for you to love it. I would love for you to be happy. I'd love for you to say, oh, Brother Kincaid, that's so good. Oh, I really love it. That's a good sermon. Praise the Lord. But you know, I got somebody else to face. It doesn't really matter if you get mad at me as you can be and walk off and leave me and never walk by me again. If I please that one I'm going to meet. I'm down here 70 odd years and most of mine's gone. I'm 6/7 done. Most of my life behind me is not in front of me. You know what's in front of me? An eternity when I face my God. It's what's in front of me. And you know, I have to please him. It doesn't make a whole lot of difference whether I please you or not. But it is going to make a lot of difference for the rest of eternity whether or not I please him. What might make a difference to you is whether or not I tell you the truth. If I tell you a lie, nice, sugar-coated lie that makes you feel good and happy while you're here, but it's not right with God, I may have done you eternal damage. But if I tell you the truth, and you follow the truth, you find the truth, you know the truth, you get right with God, you're blessed for all eternity. So it might be worth making you mad to do that. It might be worth insulting you. It might be worth offending you. It might be worth you not liking what I preach or I say. Or you not being able to control what I preach or what I say. So there is a reward. He said, the great God that formed all things both rewardeth the fool and rewardeth transgressors. As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. You ever seen a dog return to his vomit? They just chuck it up and go right back to eat. I've had dogs all my life. That's true. Dog gets sick. He'll get sick. He'll just throw it up right there, turn right around and eat it again. Make you feel good this morning? Y'all ready for lunch? You say, disgusting. It's Bible. I'm preaching Bible. Understand me? I'm preaching Bible. Disgusting. Disgusting. Well, you know, some fools are very disgusting. All of the things today that they call right that are really wrong, he keeps going back to his folly. Doesn't take long. You can recognize a fool. All of us, every single one of us does foolish things. We make a fool out of ourselves on given days. Have you ever really, really made a fool of yourself and right in the midst of it, you realize you're wrong? You're just wrong. And you're embarrassed. Oh, well, you think twice before you do it again. Because you don't want to be embarrassed like that again. But a fool hasn't got enough sense. He just returns right back to his same stupid folly. Well, I think of drunkenness, I think of drunkards, I think of all the trouble they get into, and yet next week they go back and go after it again. Proverbs even tells you about it. But look what it says here. I think verse 12 is extremely interesting. We've had these 12 verses all dealing with fools here in this 26th chapter of Proverbs. Seest thou a man wise in his own conceit? There's more hope of a fool than of him. Oh, man. All the things I've been describing and all the Proverbs have been described about foolish people, and he said, you're worse than him? All these things we can say about fools, returning to their own vomit, they don't have enough sense to take care of a parable, you can't trust them to even take care of themselves, and they don't even know there's a God, they don't know there's judgment, they can't think straight. And yet he said, a man wise in his own conceit, more hope for a fool than for him. Are you too smart to be taught? You too smart to be taught? My daddy would say to me, he said, I sure wish I could put a 40-year-old head on that 17-year-old body. I imagine as many daddies wish that a time or two. Oh, if I could just give you a little sense. If I could just put some practical common sense in your head with all that energy. What you couldn't do with it. But you can't put a 40-year-old head on a 17-year-old body. You can't do it. It won't work. That 40-year-old head's got to get 40 years before it gets to be a 40-year-old head. And a 17-year-old body just got to make a lot of mistakes. Got to make a lot of mistakes. When you're 17, 18, 19, 20, you're so smart, you're going to do everything better than anybody that ever did it before. You're going to be a millionaire before you're 25. You know it. And you don't even have to work hard for it because you're so smart. You're just going to know how to turn the deal. And they'll send you credit cards. And before long, you just know you're going to be able to pay them off. You know what they're doing to these kids now? They start college. Now, they sent me a credit card when I graduated from college. I got my first credit card when I got my BS degree. They mailed one in the mail to them. I said, woohoo, I felt good. They sent them these kids the first year in college. And before they're out of the first year, they're already several $1,000s in debt with 4 or 5 credit cards sent to them. Why? They know these kids haven't got enough sense. No, they can't pay it back. They can't pay it back. They haven't got enough sense, no, to carry it in their pocket and they spend it. Oh, well, I'll pay it next month. There ain't no money next month. You got to work to pay for some of these things. You're too wise in your own conceits. But some of you, you're wiser than any preacher that ever preached to you. Yeah, that's right. Oh, I know. I've been preaching 39 years. Oh, yeah. I know. You got better sense than the Bible. You know how many people I've talked to every month for 39 years that know more than God? They know more than God. That's an outdated book. They don't even know the book. They haven't even read the book, but they know more than God. They know how to order their life. They know how to raise their kids. Back when I was teaching school, had a little lady across the street and her kids were just getting ready to go to school. And she told me, she said, well, I'm going to go up there and my kids are going to get special attention and my kids are going to get this. My kids, I said, you going to send them to private school? You going to hire a tutor? I guess you got a lot of money. You don't really think that teacher up there with 180 to 200 kids to teach each week, each day, is going to spend that much time on your one kid? You are dreaming. Go hire you four or five teachers and pay their salaries if that's what you think you're going to get, because that's not what public education is all about. Some people are so conceited. They got everything going their way. They don't have enough practical sense to know. My daddy used to try to tell me, say, put yourself in the averages, son. The averages are going to catch up with you, son. I know you think you're bigger, smarter, more beautiful, handsome, stronger. You're a better this and a better that than anybody else that ever lived. But put yourself in the averages, they'll catch up to you. And that's what you need to do. If you're wise in your own conceits, there's more hope of a fool getting saved and getting right with God than you. You need to be a little bit humble before God. One of the greatest things that ever happened to me was getting saved. And when I got saved, it was discovering that I had a book that had truth. And I began to read this book, and I read it over and over and over and over again. I just kept reading it. The first 3 years, 4 years, I was a Christian. I read the New Testament 60 times, the Old Testament 15 times. And I kept reading, and I kept reading. And the first time I read it, I said, oh, I don't understand. The second time I read it, I understood a little more. I kept understanding a little more. Till finally I got to the place where people talked to me like I was an expert. I didn't feel like an expert. I'm still reading and learning, but I knew much more than they knew because they weren't reading and weren't learning. And you know what I learned about this thing? I learned how to raise children. I learned how to order a church. I learned how to get saved. I learned how to tell other people how to get saved. I learned that Jesus Christ was God. I learned that His Word was going to last forever. And I learned that God was a whole lot smarter than we are. And you know what? Took a lot of my conceit. I'm still a very proud person. I understand. I grew up proud. And I was a little bitty thing. I just proud as I could be. I've been proud all of my life, and I'm still proud. And so God still has, if you're proud, God has to humble you. And God's been humbling me for 39 years. So I know I've been humbled. But also, I still have pride. He wouldn't keep humbling me. You understand? But I learned enough to know I don't know about tomorrow. I can't tell you what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what I'm going to be doing tomorrow. I sure don't know what circumstances are going to bring my way or your way. But I know who holds tomorrow. I know my life is in His hands, and I know I can trust Him. Now, if you get to the place you can let God make some of your decisions for you, and you want to please God in your decisions, there's more hope for you than for a fool. Well, let's look at a few more verses. About 13 through 16 is talking about lazy people, sluggards. A sluggard. The slothful man saith, there's a lion in the way. A lion is in the streets. Now, you know what he's saying? I'm not going out to harvest today. There's a lion out there. If I go out, I just might get eat up. If I go out there and cut wood today, I mean a snake might bite me. Ooh, it might rain on me. I might get wet. Yeah, we understand. As a door turneth upon his hinges, so doth the slothful upon his bed. Any of you have trouble sleeping? Maybe not working hard enough. As a slothful hideth his hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. He's so lazy, he don't want to even put his hand to his mouth to eat. He thought about it. That's pretty lazy. Solomon, I'm telling you, that seems like it's almost an extravagance. I mean, come on, Solomon, did you stretch it a little bit here? It's the Word of God. He said there's some people so lazy, it grieves them to have to put their hand out to put the food in the mouth. That's bad. The sluggard hideth the hand in his bosom, it grieveth him to bring it again to his mouth. The sluggard is wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. He is so lazy and so smart, he's got so many things he can tell you, he's got so many reasons why it shouldn't be done that way, that he can't listen to seven good men who have a good reason for why it ought to be done. Now, you don't want to be lazy. You don't want to be lazy. Now, you can be one of these that's, oh, everything's of God. Everything's of God. And I'm pretty much everything's of God. I'm a preacher of grace. And anything I do, if I work for it, I thank God for it too. I work for the food. I pay for the food. I bring the food home. I cook it. But when I sit down, I thank God for it. Yet, that food wouldn't be there if I didn't work. It wouldn't be there. I thank God for that little Oldsmobile I run around in. But you know, I wouldn't have a Oldsmobile if I didn't make the payments. One old man was trying to teach this other fellow to thank God for everything, this old farmer. And he says, look at that beautiful field and look at all that's coming out. Don't you want to thank God for that? He said, well, you ought to have seen it when God had it by himself. It was a real mess when God had it by himself. So there's some truth to it. Yes, by the grace of God, these things grow. And by the grace of God, you got the energy to work and got the breath to breathe. But I tell you what, if you don't get out and work, you're going to have a trash dump. You can buy the most beautiful house and it starts falling apart as soon as you got it made. That is gravity. That's what's happening in the world. Just like your body is falling apart, that house is going to fall apart. You're going to have to repair things. You're going to have to repaint it or else the weather's going to eat it up and just run it away. Whole civilizations are just buried around this world. These archaeologists spent all their time digging in them. What happened to them? Somebody didn't repair them. Somebody wasn't there to keep putting the bricks back. Somebody wasn't there to keep the roof on. Somebody wasn't there to put the doors back. Lazy people, sluggards, slothful people, they got all sorts of excuses why they don't work. And they turn up on their bed because they haven't had enough energy to have put out enough energy to wear them out, so they got a reason to sleep. Now that is a problem with a lot of us in our day that work in offices, businesses, and sit at computers and typewriters. You don't get enough physical energy to wear you out. The sleep of a laboring man is sweet, the Bible says. And you know, it is a labor, and it is wearisome, and it is tiresome. It doesn't give you the same kind of exhaustion. So maybe some of you may turn up on your bed simply because you don't have enough physical exercise. But the old boy that's out there chopping cotton, the old boy that's out there, man, he's building a house, and he's swinging a hammer all day long, and he's sweating this 100-degree weather up on a roof somewhere, I guarantee you his sleep's sweet. Slugger's wiser in his own conceit than seven men that can render a reason. You ever talk to people like that? I talk to them all my life. People so smart, they're smarter than God, they're smarter than the wisest men that ever lived, they're smarter than you, and they can't even give you a good reason for it. Third part of this chapter deals with meddlesome people, busybodies. There's some people, they're just more interested in what you do than anything else. In my early years of preaching, I preached in some small towns. I pastored some small towns. I remember one town I was in, and I was on an 8-party line. I'm the pastor of the church, and I got an 8-party line. Do you understand what an 8-party line is? You probably don't. But I don't know how many of you go back that far, but an 8-party line means there were 8 people, different homes, on that same one telephone line. And any time you picked it up, all 8 could be talking at the same time, listening at the same time. Now, there was a different ring. And you knew when my ring was, it's 2 shorts and a long, or it's 2 longs and a short, or something like that. And you had all these different rings so that you knew whose phone was ringing when it rang. Somebody would call the preacher, and I'd pick it up and say, hold on here, click, 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 click. I hated that. I'm telling you, I'd say, okay, talking to all of you that are listening now, let me get the message to you. Some people are busybodies. They just more interested in what you do. They sit around and watch you because they got no life themselves. If they had a life and they had something to do, they wouldn't be worried about what you do. They'd be too busy taking care of themselves. But there are a lot of people with no life themselves, and all they've got to do is criticize you and find out what you're doing. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belongeth not to him, is like one taking a dog by the ears. Well, if you're wise, I wouldn't go up to that child next door and grab him by the ears. He'll be able to bite your hand right off. So, I wouldn't go messing with people's trouble that don't belong to you. Stay out of it. As a madman who casteth firebrands, arrows, and death, so is the man that deceiveth his neighbor and says, I'm just playing. Am I not in sport? I'm just playing. Some people's playing isn't funny. It's funny to them, not funny to anybody else. They don't care about people. Verse 20. This is a real deep one. Where no wood is, there no fire goeth out. Does that make sense? Yeah. You haven't got any fuel for the fire? Fire goes out. So where there's no talebearer, the strife ceaseth. A lot of the problem comes for somebody who's just been... I had a friend in school. He could get you into more fights and then back off and watch. He was an expert at it. He'd work these things up and sit back and laugh and watch. He did it on purpose. Russell Duffy. He knew how to do it, man. He would egg everybody on him and talk his way out of everything. Because he talked me out of a few bad things. He was a good friend. But he had a way of doing something like that. Where no wood is, the fire goeth out. So where there's no talebearer, the strife ceases. As coals are to burning coals, and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. There's some people that just cause trouble. They're always griping. They're always complaining. They're always telling us, well, did you hear about this? Well, I heard this. Well, I'm just indignant about this. I don't like the missionaries. I don't like the pastors. I don't like the way they do this. I don't like the way they do that. They cause trouble all the time. That's part of life. The words of a talebearer are as wounds that go down the innermost parts of the belly. Burning lips and a wicked heart are like a potsherd covered with silver dross. When we say something, sometimes we hurt people for a long time more than if we'd have hit them with a hammer. Then if we'd put a bruise on them. Words are sometimes like wounds. Sometimes People go home, and after things that have been said, and they've been embarrassed, they've been hurt by somebody's foolishness or laughing or talking about them, they lay and cry in the night because they've been wounded. Be careful of your words. He that hateth dissembleth with his lips and layeth up deceit within him. When he speaketh fair, believe him not, for there are seven abominations in his heart, whose hatred is covered by deceit. His wickedness shall be showed before the whole congregation. He's talking about hatred and words and people's hate and the lies and the words and the deceit. You can't even believe them when they're speaking fair. You got to watch them. You need to learn people. You need to learn people to know there's some people you can't trust. And when you know that a person is a liar, why would you trust him again? You know better. Look at verse 27. Very, very great verse. Whoso diggeth a pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. Young people, I don't know how they say it today. I've been out of teaching for a while, but I'm not sure what they'd say today. But they'd say, what goes around comes around. Back in my day, farming community and whatever, the chickens always come home to roost. They just may run all over, but they always come home to roost. What's it saying? You're going to get paid back. It's going to come back to you again. What you do will come your way. You dig a ditch, you're going to fall in it. You roll a stone, it's going to come back rolling right over top again. What you say, the way you judge, the way you live, how you hurt people, it'll come back to you. You cheat people, it'll come back to you. I live long enough to see it. I live long enough to experience it. And you will too. So you might ought to just be a little more tender in what you say. You might ought to watch your mouth when you're in some places. You might ought to be very careful who you criticize and how you criticize them. Because it just may be somebody will judge you that way next week. And you'll see how unfair it is. Very, very unfair. Last verse. A lying tongue hateth those that are affected by it, and a flattering mouth worketh ruin. You know, I guess I'm afraid of flattery about as much as I'm afraid of lies. Because really flattery is just lies on the wrong side. Somebody's not telling you the truth. Somebody's giving you more than you deserve. Somebody's laying something on you. You know, the trouble with most of us, we believe the flattery. You got pictures on your wall. You see this old scarred face? I wasn't born with it. I got it. I earned it. I had some diseases. I had some smallpox, chicken pox. I had all sorts of things. Pimples, busted nose, busted lips, scars, fingernail scars all across my eyes, big old holes in the back of my head. I earned those. Fighting. And you know, you think about some of these things, why there's pictures hanging on the wall. There's one when I was 21 years old and surrendered to preach. That face doesn't have a scar on it. Most of us believe those pictures. You know who did that? A photographer. They wanted me to look good for the newspaper. So here's this picture of this guy up here with no scars on his face. He looks good. I like it hanging on the wall. But it doesn't tell the truth. And the problem with most of us, we believe our flattery. Because we'd like for the flattery to be true. But see, that's just about as dangerous as believing a lie. So you ought to be careful about lies and flattery. Well, you know, chapter 26 does deal with fools. First 12 verses are fools. Then we have some verses on slothful and sluggards, and then talebearers and contentious men. Solomon gave us a lot of wisdom, and you know, I love the book of Proverbs. I think it's good just every once in a while to go back and just read it. It wouldn't hurt you to have a book of Proverbs sitting right on your table and just read a chapter every day till you really know it, because it's just practical, good, common sense. And it sorely deals with everyday life. Well, Lord bless you.